It's time now for Wellness Wednesday, a program featuring health professionals from our area medical facilities discussing a variety of topics concerning your well-being. Wellness Wednesday is a weekly feature on Q92 Radio.
Time for another Wellness Wednesday here on Q92. Paul Ramo here in the studio, and we have some special guests from Big Stone Therapy. Hannah Gilbertson. Hannah is a physical therapist assistant, and Amanda Heinrich. She's a physical therapist assistant as well. Or physical therapist, Amanda.
Physical therapist.
Okay, physical therapist. There you go. Well, welcome to the studios. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Why don't you introduce yourselves to us? Hannah, we'll start with you. Where did you grow up in education and that?
So I grew up in Montevideo, just down the road. I went to school at Montevideo High School, and then I went to Lake Area in Watertown, South Dakota, and got my physical therapist assistant degree.
Okay, family?
Yes, I have a husband, Kyle, and then two kids.
Okay, good. Okay, how about you, Amanda?
I grew up here in Madison. I did not make it very far from home. I live on a farm outside of Madison with my husband and two kids. All and right. I went to PT school in Vermilion, South Dakota.
Okay, great. And a track champion, right?
From way back in the glory days.
Back in the glory days. I always got to mention that when I'm with you. That was a good moment there. So, all right, what's our subject today, Amanda?
Today we are talking about pelvic floor dysfunction and how it relates to physical therapy.
Okay, I'll just turn the flow over to you guys and you guys can have at it here. So,
some of the common diagnoses that are referred to physical therapy for pelvic floor dysfunction would be urinary incontinence, which can include stress incontinence, urge incontinence, or mixed incontinence, which is a combination of the two. We'll probably spend the most time talking about this since this is probably the most common diagnosis that is referred to physical therapy.
All right. So basically, what's that? Explain that a little bit. What is that about?
So incontinence is when you have an uncontrolled loss of urine.
Okay.
It can happen when you have a strong urge to go to the bathroom and you can't make it to the bathroom on time, or it can happen when you're coughing, lifting, sneezing, basically when your abdominal pressure gets to be too strong.
So physical therapy can treat that?
Correct.
Oh, okay. Boy, I learned something already. How about you, Hannah?
Well, sometimes people come in and they ask us frequently what is considered normal when talking about incontinence. Frequently, total number of voids per day is about 5 to 8. Mm. So every 3 to 4 hours for young adults, and then every 2 hours, and not more frequently than that for older adults. When we're talking about during the nighttime, it's normal for anyone under the ages of 65 to not have to get up during the night or up to one time per night.
That would be me.
But if you are over the age of 65, normal is considered waking up 1 to 2 times per night.
My wife always gets upset with me because I never get up during the night. So I'm normal. I'm going to tell her I'm normal.
Okay. Yeah.
Good.
I guess it's definitely more common than people would think. So if it's something that you are experiencing, don't think that you are alone. Females between the ages of 15 and 64, it affects 10 to 30% of females in that age range of 15 to 64.
Okay.
It affects 44 to 55% of females over the age of 65. And in males, it affects 11 to 22% of men.
Okay.
When talking about elderly who are homebound, it affects over 52% of the elderly population that are considered to be homebound.
What are some stigmas that are related to this? I'm just thinking off the top of my head. Like embarrassment?
Yes. Yeah. I think that's mainly one of the biggest reasons why people don't seek treatment is because they're embarrassed. They think they're the only one, and they don't know maybe where to go to get help.
Yep. And just visiting with you guys before we went on air, mostly everyone has this problem sometime along their life, right?
Yeah. And actually up to 45% of adults with bladder control problems fail to seek care.
Mm. Okay, that's a pretty large number, so that's why you're here, so we talk about this and get the word out there, right?
Yes.
Okay, how do you treat that then? Can we talk about that a little bit? Or do we have some more to talk about before that?
We can get into the treatment.
Okay, now how do you treat something like that?
So when they come in, they'll have an initial evaluation completed first, and everyone Treatment is tailored to that individual. It depends on past medical history, medications, and, you know, your life experiences. But things that therapy can do to help, a lot of it's patient education. We will talk about fluid intake, maybe avoiding schedule, some hygiene issues, management with diet. We can also do biofeedback, which is a little device used for the patient to help them know if they're doing the exercises correctly or not. There are manual therapy techniques we can do, and then just different exercises and stretches as well.
Okay. Anna, do you have anything to add to that?
I find a big part of therapy is actually the education piece for people. It's just kind of going over diet management or different foods or liquids to avoid to help them improve some of their symptoms that they're having, or even just kind of getting people on a schedule to make things more regular for them. Just simple things like that can be very helpful for each patient.
Yeah, just common sense, too. You're not to drink a six-pack of soda before you go to bed, that kind of stuff, right?
A cup or two of coffee in the morning is okay. Yeah. A pot of coffee is not recommended.
Well, I'm going to get Maynard in here. He drinks coffee all day. So. That's not recommended then, huh? All right, great. Yeah, anything else?
Yeah, some of the other conditions that we'll touch on that we can help treat in therapy too would be like bowel incontinence that's been going on for more than 3 months. We can also help with pelvic pain, which would include like coccyx or tailbone pain, back pain, hip pain, or sciatic pain. This pelvic pain can be due to a number of reasons, such as like surgeries, deliveries, postpartum scarring, postoperative pain, trauma. We can also help and give tips on like toilet training readiness.
What's that mean? Explain that a little bit, Amanda.
Helping parents to know when your child is ready to potty train and get rid of diapers. And so the number one cause of constipation in kids is potty training too early.
Really?
So if you try to potty train your child before they've met certain criteria, like they should be able to dress and undress themselves without help, they should show interest in it, not just the parent being interested. The child should show interest. The child needs to notice when they're wet or dry. They need to tell their caregiver or their parent when they need to use the bathroom, and they have to be willing to stop playing to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
Those are your main things for kiddos.
I think kids like to do that a lot, play
yes.
while they're trying to go to the bathroom, right?
Yes, but they have to be willing to do all those things and meet that criteria before they're ready to potty train.
Okay, good. And you have plenty of experience about that with that, both of you, I would guess, huh?
We've both been there, done that.
Yep.
And the last thing we'll touch on quickly here is bedwetting. So bedwetting that has been going on after the age of 6 or 7 is when I would kind of recommend seeking treatment for that. What we have found is the number one reason for bedwetting is probably the constipation, because it puts pressure on the bladder.
Okay.
There can be other factors other than just constipation that play into it too, such as like abnormal hormone levels, which your doctor would need to diagnose that. Fluid intake, there's a genetic component to it, but therapy can help with that too if, you know, kiddos have been having troubles with bedwetting after the age of 6 or 7.
Okay.
I think the biggest thing that my takeaway message from this would be to be an advocate for your health. So for the purposes of our talk here, we are talking about pelvic floor dysfunction, but whether it's pelvic floor or, you know, anything, you know your body better than anybody else does. So take charge of it. And if you're experiencing new symptoms, ask your doctor, mention it to your doctor, because we can't help you unless we know what's going on.
Right. For senior citizens, my age or older, there is physical exercises that you can do for this. What would they be? Or just can you give an example?
Yeah. So your pelvic floor is just like any other muscle. If you don't use it and strengthen it, it gets weaker, just like our quads, our muscle on our thighs, that help with walking, and you just learning how to strengthen the muscles on the pelvic floor.
Pelvic floor.
Yeah.
And so what is that then?
So floor being the bottom. So if you think of the muscles, if you think of the pelvis, like anatomy, it's the muscles that sit on the bottom of the pelvis.
Okay. So you can exercise that, and that'll help you with your...
Yep. Strengthening. And we can work on exercises for strengthening your hips, too.
Okay.
And that helps to improve control.
Okay. So what's one exercise, Hannah, that... get on the floor, or what do you do?
The exercises really can be done in any position, whether a person is sitting or standing or laying down, because you do need to have good pelvic floor control in every position that you're in. So we do kind of progress through multiple positions, I guess, with either strengthening exercises, but there's also exercises called inhibition exercises too, which is also trying to get some muscles just to relax.
Yeah, that's really really interesting, that's for sure. We're visiting with Hannah Gilbertson and Amanda Heinrich from Big Stone Therapies here in Madison, and it's kind of a personal discussion that we're having, but you need to have those discussions, don't you? Right?
Yes, you sure do, because there's a lot more people that are dealing with pelvic floor dysfunction issues than you even realize.
Right. Yeah, you gave a figure, what, 45% or something, don't seek help?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So how do you... Just encourage people to seek help, like Amanda said, then, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some of it is just kind of bringing awareness, just like we're doing right now with this Wellness Wednesday.
Yep.
So letting everyone know to just talk to your primary care provider and ask for a referral to physical therapy if you feel like you need one.
Okay. All right. Well, I got a little personal there, too, but that's okay, right?
Yeah.
You guys really enjoy your work, your job?
Yes, yeah. We sure do.
Okay. Good. If people have questions, how can they get a hold of you, Amanda?
They can contact us at Big Stone Therapies at 320-698-7162.
Okay. Thanks, ladies, for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Great job, and a great, good subject there, too. So that's Hannah Gilbertson, a physical therapist assistant, and Amanda Heinrich, a physical therapist at Big Stone Therapies here in Madison. And that has been another Wellness Wednesday here on Q92.
Join us every week at this time for Wellness Wednesday on Q92. Find out what's happening at our area medical facilities, get to know the people who work there, and pick up some tips on how you can live a healthier life.